This is the Lubetkin on Communications podcast, episode number 52 for Sunday, May 11th, 2014. Welcome to the Lubetkin on Communications podcast. My name is Steve Lubetkin, podcast Steve on Twitter. I am the moderator of these podcast programs, which cover communications, public relations, and journalism with a focus on technology. I'm also pleased to tell you that I'm writing a book with Donna Papacosta, veteran podcaster from Toronto, Canada, the host of the Trafcom podcast. And if you'd like information about the book, which will cover the business of podcasting, that means how to make a living or how to make some money from podcasting, we'll be focusing on the how to do business with podcasting rather than the how to create a podcast. And so we look forward to bringing you that information in the book, The Business of Podcasting. You can get on the mailing list to get information about the book and the publication dates for the book by visiting thebusinessofpodcasting.com and then just follow the link for the email mailing list, and you'll be one of the first to learn about the publication of the book. And now on to this program. For 42 years, Larry Litwin was an adjunct and full-time faculty member at Rowan University in Glassboro, here in South Jersey, before retiring as an associate professor to guest lecture at other universities in public relations, advertising, radio, and television. His classroom's been considered a laboratory for practical knowledge, where he implements edutainment to motivate his students. He's just published the fifth edition of his book, The Public Relations Practitioner's Playbook. It's a how-to, hands-on, step-by-step manual that's designed to provide both seasoned professionals and novices in public relations with a valuable resource that contains information, knowledge, and skills they can apply to the day-to-day world. It's being used as a textbook by more than a dozen colleges and universities, and Larry, who is an accredited public relations practitioner and a fellow of the College of Fellows of the Public Relations Society of America, is our guest on today's program. Larry, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
So this is the fourth edition of the Public Relations Practitioner's Playbook. What drove you to create a fourth edition at this point? And what changes have you seen over the years since the first edition?
The first edition came out in 2002. It was about 235 pages, basic public relations. And over the years, it's evolved into the current edition, number four, which is more than 600 pages, but it's more than just quantity. We saw so many changes in technology that to stay current, we knew that we had to come up with another edition that would be as inclusive as one can be because technology changes as we speak. So the major changes in this edition deal with technology, deal with the transition from public relations into total strategic communication, and some more current case studies, particularly in the areas of crisis communication.
How has the public relations business changed? We hear an awful lot today, particularly about social media being the way to go. There's even some folks suggesting that traditional public relations is dead. Do you think that's the case? And if not, where do you think it's going?
Traditional public relations isn't dead, but it's changed because who can define traditional public relations? 40 or 50 years ago, traditional was different, but I don't even call it social media. It's emerging media. The media changes, again, as we speak, and the biggest change is not even 24/7 news, it's instant news. So what we have to look at is to be prepared. I call it the ABCs of strategic communication. Anticipate, be prepared, and then communicate clearly or with clarity. But we have to be ready. We have to be ready to react, but sometimes we have to gather the facts. However, if we are going to be rapid responders or we are going to prepare, plan, we need the knowledge of putting a strategic plan together. And I know it gets into the point, which is really theory, and that is doing research, but just to be better prepared. And I like to say, for example, if you're dealing with crisis communication, which is one of the more popular disciplines, we have to react first, fast. We tell it all ourselves. And we just have to be ready because the media wants something. They may not get all the answers, but the media needs at least a soundbite, and they need it in the first couple of hours, if not the first few minutes. So we can satisfy them if we are well-trained in public relations.
And public relations practitioners today need to understand that they're competing with other channels like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. How does that change the thought process for the public relations professional in preparing for a crisis? You know, we had, for example, the miracle on the Hudson where the plane made the crash landing in the water, and the first news of it came from passengers tweeting about it.
When I teach and I discuss it, in fact, I had Twitter in a previous edition of the book when Twitter was brand new, and people said, well, what can you say in 140 characters? Well, we, again, if we are being proactive, we or our clients are the people doing the tweeting. We're getting the message out. If we are on the reactive side, we should be monitoring those tweets so that we are ready. An example would be the Super Bowl of a couple of years ago when they had the blackout, and Oreo Nabisco had people in a situation room, and within 20 minutes, they had a message out. They tweeted a message that you can still dunk an Oreo in the dark. And we saw in a recent Academy Awards ceremony where Ellen DeGeneres did a selfie on, a lot of people thought it was an iPhone, but it was not. It was Samsung, which was sponsoring, although she was sending out tweets behind stage using her iPhone. So they were getting silent publicity or free publicity. So it's out there. We just have to be ready. People who read the book will understand the various media that we can use and how we can use it to our advantage and how we can react to it, because we have to be quick. We have to react quickly so that we can control a message, quite possibly damage control. But I like to think that we're going to be proactive in the use of strategic communication.
You've been teaching public relations and communications for an awfully long time.
42 years.
42 years. You've seen a lot of changes in the nature of education of public relations, but also in the attitudes and the thinking of the students. What are some of the highlights that you see of how public relations students have changed over the decades?
They're better critical thinkers. By the time they're finished with their 4 years as a major, some of them 2 years, they are better strategic thinkers. And when I say that, it sounds again like it's almost academia, but I'm a non-academic. Strategic planners are those that figure out what it is they want to do so that they then can go ahead and do it. But I find that as they mature, they become better critical thinkers and that they can look at a situation and they can weigh the pros and cons and try to find out why companies or people who are communicating say what it is they're saying. They also learn how to respond in an ethical and sometimes a more prepared manner when they're dealing with members of the media. And again, the media is so broad today that it's not just newspapers, radio, and television, but there are a lot of citizen journalists out there. And for a corporation to be successful, they can't ignore the citizen journalists because of YouTube and because of Facebook and because of all the others, Google Plus, all the other media that are out there.
How does that change the planning process for the public relations industry? What else do they have to do besides the normal stuff that you do for the mainstream media?
Well, I always say that when you sit down to, especially if you're developing a plan, you ask yourself, what's the purpose? Why are we doing this? But the research aspect doesn't change. The first step in what we say in the public relations process is research. So we still, and students have to learn this, still have to learn how to develop a plan when you have ample time. And I would say most times that when someone says, let's come up with a public relations plan or strategic communication plan, you have time. But as you do that, you do the research to find out what it is your target audiences want. So we would teach students to craft the message, to make sure that that message matches the audience, and also delivering the message via the proper channel. And what's interesting about this is, and you said go back to the first edition of the book, there were just a few channels that we would use back 10 or 12 years ago. Today, there are so many channels and so many deliverable methods to get the message. I mean, we have text messaging today. So if we're trying to reach someone, let's say of college age, we're not going to send it via television or radio. We are going to send it. We're not even going to send an email because they don't email any longer.
Unless they're talking to their parents.
Exactly. Exactly. So that we send a text. So even the students don't think about that. And if you're going to communicate with, again, a college student, you're not going to send them the text message at 7 o'clock in the morning, even though they do have their device under the pillow. And my research shows that most of them take the device to bed with them because it's their alarm. But if you want to reach them, you want to reach them in their hand. And that, to me, is probably the biggest change. Now, when you're dealing with the demographic who's a bit older, you're going to use a different channel, a different tactic.
Public relations students tend to want to focus on some particular aspect of the industry. How has that changed over the years since the first edition? What are the areas of public relations practice that are of most interest to your students today?
Well, the first thing that many of us try to do is persuade them or convince them, convincing is longer term, that they had better learn to be excellent, persuasive, and strategic writers, meaning that if you're a journalist, you're going to write more objectively. And as a public relations practitioner or strategic communicator, we are representing a client. So we are going to try to show our client in the best light. But still, without question, the number of students who are majoring in public relations, those that I've been associated with over the years, the most popular area is special events, and particularly sports or sports special events. Quite competitive, just like any other job is competitive. So I have a section in the book, actually, it's chapter 15, I call it Public Relations or Strategic Communication Potpourri. It covers everything that we couldn't fit in the other 16 chapters, so it's a 17-chapter book. But I try to home in on special events, and we've interviewed some successful special event people from across the country and give them the best information, the top tips to help make them at least prepare them for special events. And in sports public relations, as I tell students, and we have an awful lot of female students that want to go into sports public relations, that it's like any other job. It's not, sports appears to be a toy, but it's really not. It's just like any other area of public relations. You have to be just as well trained to handle sports as you would be to handle corporate public relations or entertainment public relations. Public relations, what really passes a lot of people by is that it is truly a two-way process, because we have to listen. And it was Roger Ailes, I worked with him, actually I didn't work with him, but we were in the same building when I worked in Philadelphia. He was at Channel 3 and I was at the sister radio station, which was KYW News Radio. And in the elevator one day, we were having a chat, and he said, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth, and that's so we can listen twice as much as we speak and we talk. And I tell the students, they really have to listen, because that's how you find out what it is your audiences want. And once they master that, I believe they'll be a more successful communicator.
What do you think is going to come down the pike in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of new public relations opportunities?
I believe that more and more people in the know, such as CEOs, other kinds of organizations, profits and nonprofits, and using a term that Jim Lukaszewski, another well-respected public relations practitioner, says, that successful companies, successful leaders will hire public relations counselors or strategic counselors to be their number one, number two person. Now, you have to say that slowly. The number one, number two person. Going way back to President Johnson, he had Jack Valenti. And even though Jack Valenti was a special assistant, President Johnson relied on him because of his public relations background and the way he approached it. So I see public relations becoming more important. Some people believe it's going to be less important, but whenever someone has a problem, that's when they turn to their public relations counselor. By having a person who is the number one, number two person on the end at all times, there is no misinterpretation of what the organization is trying to accomplish, and that will help that person give the best advice, which is, again, a real positive for the organization he or she is working for and with.
Public relations, it's almost like someone to keep a finger on the pulse of how an action by an organization is going to play out, how it's going to be received.
I call the public relations person the CIO, the Chief Integrity Officer, and truly the CCO, the Chief Communication Officer. And my background, I started in radio, business and radio. And once I got involved in public relations, I saw the value of how important it is to have a knowledgeable, not just a public relations one-way person, like a publicist or a public information person, but a true counselor who understood or understands the profession and then understands those audiences that the organization is trying to communicate to and eventually persuade them and maybe change their attitudes and opinions. And we see it in politics all the time. And the successful politicians do a very good job in handling the public relations aspect.
Larry, thanks very much for being with us and best of luck with the new edition of the book.
Well, thank you so very much, Steve. Very nice being here.
Larry Litwin is a veteran of more than four decades teaching public relations at Rowan University and elsewhere, and he's the author of The Public Relations Practitioner's Playbook, which has just come out in its fourth edition. And again, a reminder that I will be co-authoring a new book on podcasting called The Business of Podcasting with veteran podcaster Donna Papacosta from Toronto. And if you'd like information on the publication and contents, you can visit the website we've set up for the book, which is thebusinessofpodcasting.com. You can sign up for the email distribution list and we'll let you know when the book is ready. And that will wrap things up for this edition of the Lou Betkin on Communications podcast. We hope you enjoyed the program. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, please write to us. My email address is steve@loubetkincommunications.com. These programs are a production of Professional Podcasts, the podcasting division of the Lou Betkin Media Companies, on the web at beingthemedia.com. For everyone at Professional Podcasts and the Lou Betkin Media Companies, this is Steve Lou Betkin. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.